ready for the opening scripture, which we've talked about for 40 minutes? Oh, ready? All right. Isaiah 65. And verse 24. Isaiah 65 and verse 24. This is in a series of scriptures that talk about the new heaven and the new earth as Isaiah had this revelation from the Lord. And he talked about some kingdom principles. And you've heard me say many times that if the devil's given you a hard time, to take a marker and mark the name of Jesus on the bottom of your shoes or your sandals, so that everywhere you walk he looks up from the dust and he's going to see the name of Jesus on the bottoms of your feet. Y'all heard me say that a few times. Well, verse 25 is where I got it, because it talks about the wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. That's all he gets to eat is dirt. But I want to go to the verse above that, verse 24. And many times at Bible study or Tuesday night in our night of prayer, we fellowship and we talk maybe 15 or 20 minutes, and our conversation comes out, and in it we're expressing our cares and concerns a lot of times before we take the time and go before the Lord in prayer. And sometimes, you know, we do that here too. We're very free-flowing and very open about the things we talk about and share, but when it comes time to pray, We've already expressed a lot of those concerns. And so here, I find it very, very appealing to me. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Now, what a wonderful promise. It's a promise that the concerns, even the things that we're concerned about and that we share together, but you see the Holy Spirit hears them as well. And even before we go to prayer, he's already working on it. And even before we speak them to him, he's already heard. And what a wonderful promise. And it doesn't work for just here or for Bible study or prayer night. But remember that when you might be in a conversation with even just one other person. And the things that are on your heart that you're concerned about. What a wonderful promise to know that Abba Father, dear Daddy God, has already heard. And even before we speak it, he's working on it. So short opening scripture, but in light of the other things that have happened too, I just think that's like Jif peanut butter on a piece of hot toast. Just so good.
Skippy?
Well, okay. We all got our favorite brands, but anyway, keep that in your quiver for your prayers and your concerns. Remember that scripture, and I think it'll help, because sometimes we might think that, well, I did a lot of talking, but I wonder if I said anything. To be sort of a part two that we didn't really get to last week, and I feel that it's really important to think about ourselves as being believers, and how and where do we fit in. Many times we won't, and that's not to be our goal. So these, I've written down some things and going to try to stick to script, like if I were going to do this for the website, and it will be there, it'll be posted by tonight. But if you take notes, you might want to write these down. I have them in an order that you can do that, so that if any one of them rub you the wrong way, I can duck pretty fast. Something comes my way. But I want to look at this from the perspective of we as Christians, and to let our light so shine before men. That means everywhere we are, wherever we are, and with whomever we are, and that people will see the good works that we do. But there's a deeper truth to that. When Jesus was seeing his good works, he did not look for a pat on the back, like, oh, that was a good thing you did. Every time he was confronted with that opportunity, it was a temptation from the devil to get him to acknowledge. But what he ended up saying was, if you see any good in me, it's my Father in me. He does the work. And I think that's really important for all of us as believers. Number one, understand that God anoints you for trouble. Be sure you're a Christian, because when trouble comes, you don't want to be a non-believer. And put on the armor of God before going to work. So these are just helpful little hints from Heloise, the Holy Ghost. Understand that God anoints you for trouble, so that you'll be able to stand when others are falling or failing. Don't underestimate the truth in these, even though they may seem a little silly, but they're really not. And make sure to put on the armor of God before going to work, because that's where your battle is. Even when Faith and I had our painting and wall covering business for many years, we worked with some and had some pretty unsavory characters that were other contractors that did other things like carpentry, electrical work, plumbing. We worked in the fray of the business community, and it's not a wholesome environment for a Christian if you don't have your armor on. And there were times when we chose to eat in another room because we didn't want to participate in the conversations that they were talking about. Don't expect to be appreciated. Now, this is really a hard thing for us because it's not our nature. I should say it's the old nature, that's our goal. Do stuff so that you'll be appreciated. Know that God appreciates us, and that should be enough. I mean, look at what he did for us. If you want to know how the Lord sees your worth and your value, look at what he did at Calvary. And that's what we really have to stay focused on. Don't expect to be appreciated. I know it's nice, and people do kind things all the time for us, for each other. And those are wonderful things. But if that's the goal of doing something, then we've missed it. The goal for doing something is to glorify the Lord in what we're doing. That should be our motive. Number three. Well, actually, this is part of number two. Your only expectation should be to get a paycheck, because, you see, that's the covenant that you entered into. If you get a few frills along the way, that's really nice. But if you took a job to get something, you see, that's not a right Christian attitude. We should expect to receive something, but that shouldn't be our goal. Don't come to work to have personal relationships.
Amen.
And don't allow what you do to affect who you are. You can go to the internet tonight and you can get all of these things again, because Tom will be very faithful about posting these. So, because we have people now listening overseas, and a couple in Texas, a few people. So do your job well, but remember your mission. God put you there to be a light. These are very, very straightforward. I'm not going to try to make them fancy and make them more appealable, because what they do is they rub against the flesh. And that's when you know that they're birth of the Spirit, when they make your flesh uncomfortable to know what this is really requiring. I like that. Don't allow what you do to affect who you are. That's really important. Seek opportunities to change the atmosphere without commenting on the problems. That's a good workplace. Yes. Seek opportunities to change the atmosphere without commenting on the problems. A lot of times we're the first people to find something wrong. It's almost like we look for it and we shouldn't. We look for something to be wrong so we don't have to go back there. I knew if I stayed in that church 47 years, I'd find something wrong. Now I'm leaving. You know, I'm not kidding. There are Christians who literally go about, that's their mission. I'm the watchman on the watchtower, and they will go 100 different places and looking to find fault with something so that they won't go back there. Don't do that in a workplace, because there is no perfect place to work. But you're perfect in the workplace, and you can change the whole atmosphere by quit looking at what's wrong with it and just appreciate that that's God's way of making a way for you and providing for you. There, now we're getting down where the rubber hits the road. Don't expect these things. Many times they're unsaved people that we work for. But the Lord is the one who's the rewarder. And if he so touches somebody's heart if he can speak through Balaam's donkey, he can speak through an unsaved person to bless you. Let them. They can curse you, they can cuss you, but they can also bless you. Yeah, now I'll read the rest of that sentence, Priscilla. It's in three pieces. Seek opportunities to change the atmosphere without commenting on the problems. You have a God to talk to. You're on an assignment. And quietness and competence shall be your strength. When everybody else is flipping out and cussing and making a bad mess of a workplace situation, quietness and competence. Let people know that you've got it together and that you know what you're doing and that you can handle the assignment that you have. Don't let your environment get inside of you. You should influence it, not let it influence you. Is this speaking to anybody this morning? Yeah. I'll quit looking over in that corner. But it's so true, because we worked with unsaved people a lot after we became Christians. And we found ways to be a good influence. Because it's easy to find people's flaws. That's why Paul said, I know no one after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Stop going to work to be fed. You didn't come to receive, you came to give. Uh-oh. That's a biggie. Stop going to work to be fed. You didn't come to receive, you came to give. Because look at what you have to give. Look at whom you have to give. Look at what you have. But if we're all the time trying to force things and make something happen, that can turn into a shipwreck pretty fast. Okay, number 6. Increase your capacity to work with different personalities. God will often bless you through people you don't even like. Boy, there's been people in my flesh that I just want to whack them. I'm not kidding. Even as a Christian, I still have, if I let them, I still have those feelings. And if I ever turn them loose, it's like making sure that our motives are right for what we do or what we say or being that light. That doesn't always make everybody happy. Some people are repelled by the light. They run and hide in darkness. When they saw John the Baptist eating locusts and wild honey, you think everybody went running after him to hang on to him? you ever see locust legs in somebody's beard? You know? I can just imagine like a wild man coming out of the wilderness, and he was. But he preached the word. He warned people to repent. That should scare some people, you know, right there. To, man, maybe I better shape up a little bit. God sent this wild character out of the jungle to set me straight. Remember where you are does not define where you're going. You see, I kind of summarize some of these things sometimes when I say that may be the way it is today, but it's subject to change. Remember where you are does not define where you're going. This will deliver you from frustration. See, we're to grow where we're planted. But there's a place to find that balance in our faith where it becomes easier and not more difficult. Let me see what else I have on page 2. Oh boy, I don't know if you want to hear these next 3. Well, we'll give it a go. You ready? Come on, you guys are tough. You can handle it. We're all in this walk. We've all had some bumps and bruises along the way, but look it, we're here, aren't we? God has a plan for your life. Keep your eye on the prize. Oh, here's the punchline. This is really good. When Peter did this, he was able to walk in what other people sank in. Yes. And if you apply that to the difficulties that you may encounter in a work environment or maybe even in a church environment, keeping our eye on the prize, we'll be able to walk in what other people sink in. We don't have to stoop to the level of our attackers. It's easy to. I've done it many times. I'm not proud of it, but I have. And I know that's not the place to be. But God has made us better than that. He's made us stronger than that. Get the optimum results with minimal confusion. Be effective without making the environment worse. That's all part of Jesus' teaching about being the light of the world. How do we apply these things to our lives? I love studying Jesus because I could spend days just contemplating just one truth that he said. And his disciples went away so dumbfounded, like just the things that he said were so profound. Don't be associated with one group or clique. Labels limit your usefulness. That's really true in the body of Christ too. Don't fall into the group that's going to sit in the back. And if you're going to do that, be praying. Then you'll have a right spirit. And in a workplace too, labels limit your usefulness to the Lord, because that's about, see, this isn't so much about the workplace. It's about who we're really working for. So if you didn't get that in the beginning, that's where this is going. God wants you to work with everybody, but be labeled by nobody. Use all your gifts. Don't just save them for fellowship. Use them at work. If you're, whatever you do, you're the most qualified person in the place, but you don't have to tell anybody. Some people like to do that, to get raises, to get promotions, to find favor. But if you're really a Christian and you have wonderful work skills and gifts, and you just go in every day, and you just do what you're really good at, be the best at what you do, and you won't have to ask for anybody's favor, because you'll have God's favor. and nobody can put a label on you except that which is would be good. They might call you goody two shoes and say, yep, that's where my anointing comes. I stomp on the devil every day. I'm an overcomer. And the last one, always keep your song near you. If there's a particular song that a song of praise, a song of worship to the Christian, always have that near your heart. So that when the flak is flying all around you, you know, when the doo-doo hits the fan, you've got a song that you can come back to grab onto that and hold it. Keep a consecrated place in your thinking. And hold on to your praise, because that's the most valuable thing that sometimes that you may have in times of duress or stress, is hold on to your praise. Don't let the enemy steal it, because if we get out of praise, we've played right into his hand. So we need to guard ourselves and just let the light shine. So very, very much to the point, but if you want some copies of these, I can make you some, okay? I'll bring them next week. Because, you know, when I were doing the recordings for the what we had when we weren't meeting, I generally did put it in a more direct format because I knew I only had a certain amount of time. Here, if it takes us 3 weeks, that's okay. Anyway, that's that.